ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 6 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। आई सजेस्ट फॉर द ट्रांसलेटर इफ यू कैन गेट अ कॉपी ऑफ द बुक इन तेलुगु दैट विल मेक इट मच इजियर फॉर यू बिकॉज द The translation and purport is usually quite difficult to translate compared to what the speaker speaks. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 6. It's a well-known verse, so those who know it, they can chant also. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo यतो भक्तिर अधोक्षजे आहैतुक्य प्रतिहता ययात्मा सुप्रसीदति स वै पुंसां परो धर्मो यतो भक्तिर अधोक्षजे Ahaitokya pratihata. No, you're all mispronouncing. It should be Ahaitokya pratihata, not Ahaitokya pratihata. The it in Sanskrit, the vowel it coming before the vowel a changes to y, so it's Ahaitokya pratihata, flowing like this. Try again. Ahaitokya pratihata. Still, some of you are saying ahaituki, habit. If you say the word ahaituki by itself, it's ahaituki. If it becomes before a vowel, as in this case, then it changes. Ahaitokya pratihata. Yayatma suprasidati. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahaitokya Pratihata Ahaitokya Pratihata Ahaitokya Pratihata. Still some don't learn by... In previous ages, people learn by hearing. In this age, people are supposed to learn by reading and can't learn by hearing at all. Yayatma suprasidati. Which means they don't learn by reading either. It's just amassment of information. All right, someone else chant. Let's see who's learned this verse. Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Roshade Ahaitokya Pratihata Yayatma Suprasidati Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato bhaktiradhokshaje ahaitokya pratihata yayatma suprasidati savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje. No, 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 no. You're reading it? You're reading it from your Kindle, is it? You're reading it wrongly. Yeah, okay. Say it again. No. Ahaituk yapratihata. It's not ahaituk apratihata. It's ahaituk yapratihata. There's a yut sound. Try again. No. You went from one mistake to another. Okay, very good. Ahaituk. Say it again. So we can. All right. Ahaituk yapratihata. Yayatma suprasidati salaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshade ahaitokya prati hata yayatma suprasidati salaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje ahaitokya prati hata yatma suprasidati savaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje ahaitokya prati hata yayatma suprasidati savaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje. No. Same mistake. Ahaituk yapratihata, one flowing word. No. Ahaituk yapratihata. You can't hear the difference? You're chanting ahaituki apratihata, and it should be ahaituk yapratihata. Can you hear the difference? All right, say the difference. No. This is why we have to have Gurukul. Their all brains are already spoiled by going to college and all this kind of thing. All right. Any ladies like to chant? They use Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaje Ahaitokya pratihata yayatma suprasidati savaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje ahaitokya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. So, translation, the supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Purport. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get out of the miseries. And temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruitive action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is also one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction.
Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati.
The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Is everyone feeling happy? Not very. There wasn't a spontaneous roar. Yes! Well, you can try, but it's not spontaneous. You can turn these lights off. There's no need to unnecessarily have them on. Serves no purpose having them on except to waste some money and waste some of Krishna's energy. Is it? Or you want it for the... Does it make any difference? I don't think so. Yeah, there's enough light for everyone, whatever they need to do. These lights can be turned off also. This Krishna conscious movement is a movement of bhakti. And as Srila Prabhupada often said, this movement is meant for making everyone happy, right? You know about this. Meant for making everyone happy. So generally people, Hindus who know about this Krishna conscious movement, they know that it's a movement of bhakti.
and generally think bhakti. People think bhakti, well, that's something very happy. Singing, dancing, festivals, flowers. This is the manifestation of bhakti. Of course, here in South India, there are also more grave manifestations with a lot of somber chanting of Vedic mantras, and yajnas. But there's the overtly joyful aspects also. And in North India, there's not much of this Vedas chanting and in bhakti, but it's mostly overtly. Overtly means prakat, manifest, joyful activities in bhakti. So bhakti means to be joyful, and that's what it's all about, right? Bhakti means feeling, isn't it? Feeling, joyful feeling, loving feeling. Yes, that's true. But it's not that any loving feeling is bhakti. Just like we hear the term desha bhakti. Bhakti, devotion to one's country. Janani janma bhumishcha swargam evam garis. Swargam etam. Swarga dapi kariyasi. Sorry. Then what I said before didn't make any sense. So there is a saying that one's mother and one's motherland, one's birthland, is considered more glorious than swarga, than heaven. But here in this verse is specifically said, bhaktir adhokshaje. Bhakti unto the transcendent Lord, which elsewhere in this chapter and throughout the Bhagavatam, it's described who that adhokshaja, transcendent person is, that is Krishna. In fact, that's established from in the very first words of the Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So bhakti means to be happy. Yayatma suprasidati. By performing this bhakti, one's very being will become fully happy. So it's the feeling. We should be happy. We should feel happy in bhakti. So people will say, the general understanding bhakti, general I mean by among Hindus in general, general feeling is, well, you can bhakti, that means there's bhakti for your country or for your family or for Krishna or for Rama or for Shiva or for Saraswati or for Sai Baba or your guru. Guru is good as God, better than God. So, bhakti, that's the main thing. It's all about the feeling, the happy feeling, joyful feeling, loving feeling. But bhakti means to love Krishna. You may say, why even discuss all this philosophy when bhakti is just, it's just meant for love, so just love. And it doesn't matter who you love, or how you love, or why you love, because love is supreme. But no, Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate treatise on bhakti, given by Vyasadeva, he is more specific. This idea, well, bhakti, whoever you like, you can worship, however you like, whenever you like, however you like, this is non-specific. That's called nirvishesha, non-specific. But here it's very specific. Bhakti adhokshaja. And that adhokshaja, yes, from the very first words of Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudeva, Krishna, is to be worshipped. So he may say, well, it doesn't matter You can worship anyone. It's all the same. They're all aspects of the same Supreme. And sometimes to support this, or to attempt to support this proposal that, well, you just worship anyone, the Bhagavad Gita may be, well, some they may quote this Ramakrishna, Jato Mat Toto Pat, but that has no, that's just something he said. Anyone can say anything. So he said that, but that doesn't make it authoritative. But more authoritative, definitely, than what this so-called Ramakrishna said is what Krishna says. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mam eva kunteya. He says that those who are bhaktas, those who offer their devotion to other gods, it's ultimately tepi mam, it goes to me, or that's how they translate, but it's meant for me. You know, if they worship with faith, that's the main thing. Yajante shraddhayanvita. They're worshipping with faith. Then Krishna says, tepi mam eva kunteya yajante. They worship, it's all meant for me, but avidhi purvakam. Yajantya vidhi purvakam. They're worshipping, ultimately it's all meant for me, but they're worshipping in a manner which is in the wrong way. So if you say, well, you're worshipping with faith and everything's ultimately meant for Krishna, and it's all bhakti, so it's all the same thing, so it doesn't matter who you worship, it's all the same. But Krishna says, avidhi purvakam, in the wrong way. And elsewhere in Gita, Krishna, he clarifies this, that worship, although it's that yajana, that worship or yajna that is meant for Krishna, should be for Krishna, but if it's not specifically offered to Krishna, it's not the same. You don't get the same result. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrin yanti pitri vrataha, bhutani yanti bhuteja madhyajino pi yanti maam. One who worships, Krishna says, one who worships the demigods, they attain the platform, or the status of the demigods. Those who worship the departed ancestors, they go to them. Those who worship ghosts, they become ghosts. And those who worship me come to me. So there is a difference. There is a difference between going to Krishna and becoming a ghost. It's not the same thing. You may worship the ghost with much faith. So the faith, the factor of faith is the same and the factor of worship is the same. But the object of worship is different, and there's a different result. So the point that one should worship with faith, that worship with faith that is meant for Krishna, but if it's avidhi purvakam, not done in the proper way, then there's a different result. And you may say, well, it's the puja is the same, more or less. You offer some lamp, some flowers, but there's something seriously wrong. That it's, if one is there's a distinct difference. Worshipping ghosts, worshipping demigods, worshipping fakirs. This is prominent in modern India. Worshipping Sai Baba was a fakir, some kind of Muslim mystic. We don't have anything against Muslim mystics, but there is a different result from worshipping anyone other than Krishna. So, it's not all the same. One has to understand. It's not just feeling. People will think, well, why discuss all this philosophy? Bhakti means you just sing and dance and you give your love to Krishna. But unless we know that it is to Krishna, why it is to Krishna? Why do we offer to Krishna? Why not to Sai Baba? I feel in my heart, I have such a feeling for Baba. You may have a feeling, and it may be, in your estimation, bhakti. But it won't be the same, and the ultimate result will not be yaya atma supraseda. The ultimate result will not be that the atma, the very being, is fully satisfied, because the atma, the very being that we are, cannot be fully satisfied in relation to anyone other than Krishna, because that is our constitutional position in relation to Krishna, not in relation to anyone else. So, although we may feel some happiness in worshipping anyone other than Krishna, that happiness is at least somewhat illusory. At least somewhat illusory. The tendency to worship, that is good, but we should know where it should be directed. Otherwise we will be misdirected, and although we may feel happy, that will not lead us to the position which Srila Prabhupada has given in English here, Satchidananda. Eternity, full understanding, and full bliss. So this philosophy is needed to understand who we are to worship. Bhakti is required, but who is that for? And we say, okay, all right, now I understood, it's for Krishna. Okay, so no more philosophy needed, just chant Hare Krishna. But then we have to understand how to worship Krishna. That means, how to worship Krishna means there are certain procedures, just like in worshipping ghosts, you might offer meat, for instance. To Krishna, we cannot offer meat. We have to know what Krishna is satisfied with, how he is to be worshipped. In worshipping ghosts or in worshipping certain demigods, there may be offerings of wine and meat that we do not offer to Krishna. Krishna will not be satisfied with that. So we have to know how to, in terms of the activity, and we also, that also means different mantras, how to chant. Ultimately the feeling is most important. There is that verse that Murko vadati vishnaya, pandit vadati vishnave, ubhaya tat samam phalam, bhavagrahi janadana. There's that verse is there, that a learned person, while doing offerings, sacrifices or whatever, he'll offer Om Namo Vishnave. And someone who thinks he knows but doesn't know will say, who's foolish in this regard, not learned in some basic Sanskrit terms, will say Om Namo Vishnaya, because you say Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Govindaya, Om Namo Madhavaya. Then you may think, well, it should be Vishnaya, but it's an irregular case, so it should be Om Namo Vishnave. So both, according to this verse, get the same result, because Janardhan, which is another name of Narayana, Govinda, Madhava, Vishnu, he accepts the feeling with which it is offered. So he may say, then why bother about pronunciation or philosophy or proper grammar or any of these things? Just offer with love. But then one of the factors of love is that you don't go on and on making the same mistake if you're calling someone's name. Just like if you, a woman gets married and the husband's name is Sunil. Previously in India, you got married and then it's the first time husband and wife saw each other. So she might say first time, oh, Sudeep. Actually, she's not supposed to say his name at all. So it's a mixed example. She said, no, my name's Sunil. Oh, okay, sorry. But then after 20 years, she's still saying Sudeep. That means she didn't make any effort to say his name properly, which means she doesn't really have much regard. So, if there's a mistake, all right, it's a mistake, but if you go on making the same mistake, that means you don't really have much regard for the person. So all this bhakti shiksha, or education in all the details, is also required. If we don't have education in the details, then again we come to nirvishesh. No details means nirvishesh, mayavad. Everything's all the same, whatever you do, it's all, doesn't matter. That means we don't, bhakti means we take Krishna very seriously. We don't do it for our own, we're not performing, but I like doing bhakti because I become happy. Well, that's a beginning stage. But then the real level of bhakti is Aslishava padaritam pinashtu mama darshanam marmahatam karotu va yatha tatha va vidathato lampato mat prananathastu sa evanapara. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed like this in the mood of Srimati Radharani. It is the ultimate expression of love which we aspire to follow. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that you may embrace me or crush me under your feet, you may make me broken-hearted by not appearing before me, but in any situation, even though you may not care for me, or you may superficially show some love for me, but you're just running here and there, whatever it may be, whatever the situation is, you are my worshipful Lord, the Lord of my life, without any condition, unconditionally. So this is love, this is bhakti. That we give ourselves to Krishna, then we feel the happiness of bhakti. Not that we think that, okay, Krishna, make me happy. That's back to front bhakti, that's not bhakti. So all these things have to be understood, and the Bhagavatam teaches us that, both philosophically and by giving examples of devotees who were ahaitukya pratihata bhaktas, who were completely selfless and totally dedicated in their love for Krishna. We hear about Prahlad and Ambarish and so many great devotees who, they're on the platform of pure devotion to Krishna. We hear about Dhruv Maharaj, who wasn't on the platform of pure devotion, but who came to that platform. So throughout Bhagavatam, this platform of pure devotional service is being recommended. It's not, anything else is called Kaitava Dharma, or cheating in the name of Dharma, in the name of, Dharma, you all have at least a superficial understanding of what that word means, or by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll get a proper understanding of what that means. So, bhakti should be for Krishna, and we need to understand that philosophically also, so that we can be clear in understanding that we have to serve Krishna, how to serve Krishna, what it means to serve Krishna, how bhakti has to be completely selfless. Mostly people think that bhakti means you worship some god and the god reciprocates with you and he gives you what you want and then your bhakti increases. So this is why Sai Baba is popular. There are so many trains daily to Manmad. Once I went from Secunderabad to what's the name of that place in Karnataka? 4 hours journey. Bida. We all went there. And we went on this Secunderabad Manmad Express. And I asked, why is there a daily train to Manmad? What's this, some place stuck out in Maharashtra, some small town? And there are so many trains from so many places. He said, that's the station for Shirdi. They get down at the terminus is Manmad, and then they go on to Shirdi. And Shirdi means, who in there in India doesn't know? This fakir worship. So they must be getting something. I also heard someone told me about someone else, that someone had been introduced to me as doing bhakti, and then again when I went to that place they asked me, then where's that person? He's not coming out. No, he said he tried so many things and he came to Krishna also, he still didn't get what he wanted. Then he went to Sai Baba, now he's happy. He's getting everything he wants. So seems like some potency of Kali has entered, so that people are cheated and their material desires are fulfilled via this fakir. For some time, that will go on. So that's what most people think that bhakti is. That, well, you worship, doesn't matter who you worship, as long as you get what you want. That's it. You find this god, that god, and if it doesn't work, then try another god. And if none of them work, well, you can become a Christian. And they don't just say that God will give you this and that, will give you right here and now. You get 10,000 rupees for converting, and then we'll send your kids to school and chicken every Sunday. So this is not just pie in the sky, it's pie on your plate. You get it right here now. So people think that religion is meant for material gain. But right here, is it the next, no, one or two verses later? Where does that come? Dharmasya yapavargasya. Ah yeah, just four verses later. Dharmasya hiapavargasya. Dharma is meant for apavarga, for liberation from this material world. These verses are very important. Nartartayopakalpate. It is not meant for material gain. This statement is completely opposite to what almost everyone in the world thinks that dharma is meant for. Nartha. It should not be imagined. Narto artayopakalpate. Here the word artha is used twice. Nartarto, nartartayopakalpate. So artha means meaning and artha means money. So here, na artha artha. It is not meant for money. So the word is used twice in two different senses. Nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smitaha. So these are very important terms. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. They're all discussed in this verse. Moksha, usually these four terms are used together. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Sometimes they're put in different order. Sometimes they put artha first because they think artha is most important and dharma is a means to get artha. So artha, money is the most important. So artha, dharma, kama, and then moksha. Okay, well, all right. We'll think about that later. So here, all the four are discussed. Dharma, artha, kama, and apavarga, which is another way of saying moksha. And the conclusion is that even generally people say that dharma is most important, but here apavarga is stated, that artha is there, but that should be used. Generally we hear that artha should be used for dharma. But yes, but that dharma that should lead to apavarga. And kama, this kama is just the opposite of, as long as we have kama, material desire, there's no question of moksha. But on the other hand, we can't be free from kama completely, because even to you can't get moksha unless you desire it. And but according to the according to those who desire impersonal liberation, and especially some branches of Buddhism, you can't. Anyway, Buddhism, they have some very strange ideas, which I won't get into now, because I don't understand them, and I don't think anyone understands them, because they don't make any sense whatsoever. So, yeah, desire should be there, but only the desire for liberation, which is further defined here in Bhagavatam. We're not talking about impersonal liberation, but muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti means to be situated, to be free from these false forms and to be situated in one's actual position. So it's all deep, detailed, and clear exposition of what is bhakti. This is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. This is the scientific exposition of the subject of bhakti. It is not feeling. Ultimately, bhakti means feeling. Ultimately, bhakti means feeling. That feeling is not, however, the feeling of pleasure that one gets when one worships some manifestation of God, because after all, Sai Baba is also a manifestation of the ultimate reality, and for that matter, so are you, and so is me. So am I, sorry. But to understand how everything is a manifestation of the ultimate supreme, who is Krishna, and that is required, because if we think that, well, everything is a manifestation of Bhagavan, so everything is to be, everything or anyone can be worshipped as Bhagavan, and then that is a misunderstanding. So that feeling of happiness that you get from worship and thinking, oh, Baba or Shiva or Mataji, Durga is going to give me this and that, this is a kind of happiness of bhakti, but it's not real, it's not an advanced level. It's like the kind of happiness that a child gets when the parents give something to the child. They love the mother because the mother gives to them. And we see that the baby is very attached to the mother, but gradually as the baby gets older, they become more independent, and in the Western world where there's no real human values, although they talk a lot about it, but there's no real human values whatsoever, then the parents are just abandoned in old age because they're no use to the children whatsoever. The children have nothing to get from them, and therefore they just abandon them. They don't care for them at all. So we can see that this material love, the love of the child for the parent, decreases according to their need to get something from the parent. In the beginning of life, they're completely dependent. Gradually, as they get to about 4 or 5 years old, then they manifest some independence. They run here and there, and they may even go some distance away from the mother. Although if they feel the mother is not there at all, then they feel very disturbed. And gradually they become more and more independent. And when they've got nothing to get from the parents, there's no manifestation of love whatsoever in a totally materialistic culture. So this kind of feeling that one has, bhakti that one has for some demigod or for Sai Baba or for Jesus or whoever or whatever, that is based on what God does for me, that is not real bhakti. That is not ahaituki. Bhakti means ahaituki. Real bhakti means without any personal desire. You may say, well, how can you do that? Well, that means a complete change of consciousness. This Radharani that expressed, Ashlishava Padaratam, that Krishna, why would you love someone who, this prayer is there, then why should you love someone who tramples you underfoot, who knows you want to meet him, but he doesn't meet you? Why would you want to love anyone like that? Well, the answer is because Krishna is all attractive. He is by his very nature all attractive, and it is our nature to be attracted to him. And actually Krishna's qualities are that he is very kind and loving. He is the perfect person to reciprocate love with. He completely gives himself to his devotees, and only he can completely give himself to his devotees. No one else can do that. No, even if we say, well, I want to worship Shiva or Sai Baba without any personal desire, but no one else can reciprocate as can Krishna, because that is his constitutional position to be the prananata, to be the lord of the life of every living being. That isn't the constitutional position of anyone else. The constitutional position of everyone else is in relationship to Krishna. So Krishna is that person who should be worshipped and who can perfectly reciprocate with us. And Krishna does. Krishna gives himself to his devotees. That sadhunam hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti nahang tebhyo managapi. The devotees are the heart of Krishna, because Krishna becomes indebted to them, because they completely give themselves to him, and Krishna reciprocally gives himself to them, and Krishna is the heart of the devotees. The devotee cannot think of anyone but Krishna, and Krishna cannot think of anyone but them. We may think, well, there's so many devotees, and then how do I get in there? Well, dasanudasanudas. Become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. But Krishna also personally reciprocates with everyone. By Krishna, he can do that. No one else can do that. They can't reciprocate with everyone, but Krishna personally reciprocates with unlimited numbers of devotees, which is possible for Krishna. That is not possible for anyone else. Of course, within this world there are great personalities like Lord Shiva who various demigods. They do answer the prayers of their votaries. But within this world they have such a facility. That's not an eternal position to do so. And the demigods, they're also temporary, and the boons that they give are temporary. Therefore, antavattu palangte shantad bhavatyalpamedasam. The people who are foolish worship demigods, and they get something from the demigod, but they only get something temporary. And the position of the demigod is also temporary, with the exception of Lord Shiva, whose position is an eternal position. But it is not our eternal position to eternally relate with him. So bhakti means for Krishna, bhakti means it should be unmotivated. And as long as we have some personal motive in approaching Krishna, then there's no real or full bhakti. There are terms, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, that we worship Krishna with some material desire, or we worship Krishna with the desire for liberation. But that cannot fully satisfy Krishna, and that won't fully satisfy us either. In fact, although most people who come to bhakti do so with personal desires, that is not recommended. Most people, they come to Krishna with, not with pure devotion. That's stated by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti na arjuna artho jignyasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharatarsha. Krishna says four kinds of people approach me. They are pious people. They are those who want money. Those who are interested, but not really, not very serious to surrender to Krishna, but just interested. And those who are distressed, and those who are in knowledge of Krishna. So that different people, most people come to Krishna either for getting money or relieving distress, or a mixture of those two conditions. Relief of one major manifestation of distress is poverty. So most people come to Krishna for that, or they may come to Krishna thinking that, well, Krishna is Yogeshwara, so by worshipping Yogeshwara I can also become liberated. Krishna is the Lord of the yogis, so he can help me to become liberated from this material world. So one may approach Krishna like that, but that is not pure devotion. And bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. How can the happiness of bhakti manifest in the heart of someone within whose heart reside the pishachis? In English, that's translated as witches. The witches of desire for material enjoyment and the desire to become free from material enjoyment. If bhakti is executed for either of, be free of material enjoyment means to be free of material distress, but the desire to become liberated without the desire to surrender to Krishna, then that inhibits our devotion to Krishna, because it's a personal desire. It may become purified by good association, but in and of itself, it is a personal desire, is a hetu, is a desire which is not the desire to serve Krishna. Haituki means without any personal desire. So this word bhakti, it's a well-known word among Hindus, but it's a much misunderstood word. What goes on in the name of bhakti, most of it is not according to this standard. Savai pung sang paro dharma yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihataya yatma supersedati. Is not to this standard. That is the actual transcendental position which fully satisfies the self. So, we want to propagate to everyone to do Krishna bhakti. And we may do so in a simple kind of way, just say, chant Hare Krishna. But then we have to explain also. Even getting people to chant Hare Krishna, even 16 rounds and following four regulated principles, they may still, and getting initiated, but they still might not be on the path back home, back to Godhead, even if they do these things, if they don't understand why we worship Krishna exclusively. Ahaituki, apratihata. Apratihata means, among other things, no television. You may say, what? If we look in the Sanskrit dictionary, we won't find that. But it means uninterrupted. It means we don't have any other agenda. We don't have any other activities. That, okay, now I'm doing bhakti with full heart, and now I'm doing something else with full heart. No. Everything for Krishna. Everything centered on Krishna. That is pure devotional service. That is discussed here. So we should understand all this very carefully. Bhagavatam describes the bhakti of Prahlad, Dhruva, Ambarish, the Pandavas, and ultimately the Vrajavasis. But first, there's a clear delineation of what that bhakti is. Because if we don't have that clear understanding, then we'll have an unclear understanding, misunderstanding. And we won't be properly situated on the path of bhakti. So all these points should be carefully understood. Therefore, I ask devotees again and again, read Srila Prabhupada's books, hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, try to understand what is being communicated. Otherwise we'll be on the sentimental, mundane, mixed platform, and it might seem that we're in bhakti and we're initiated, but we're not making any real progress. Understanding has to be there. Understanding also comes not just by reading, but also by putting into practice what we read about, surrendering to Krishna. Bhakti is a dynamic activity. It's not simply a mental activity. Mental, or it's not simply an intellectual activity. It's holistic, mind, body, words, everything engaged in the service of Krishna, but with clear direction and clear understanding. So please read, try to understand, hear regularly. This philosophy of Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada taught it. We say Srila Prabhupada, may say, well, there are so many devotees in the history of the world, why do we always say Srila Prabhupada? Because Srila Prabhupada manifested this pure devotional service in the present age. There may have been many great devotees, and there may have been so many great devotees in the past, but at least among the masses of people in India, prior to Srila Prabhupada strongly preaching Krishna consciousness, there was no clear understanding of what is bhakti. It wasn't available. Srila Prabhupada made it available to everyone. He brought back the Ganga. The Ganga the Ganga of bhakti, the flowing river of bhakti was drying up. Bhakti never dries up, but the flow may dry. It wasn't available. So Srila Prabhupada made that available. Bhakti, yes. Bhakti everywhere. There's bhakti. People in Hindu culture. But Srila Prabhupada, he made that available, so we quote him. We're not saying that great bhakti sadhus of the past are bogus here. We don't say that. Here in Andhra Pradesh, the Raghavendra Swami is very highly honored, and among followers of the bhakti paths, and of course Sri Ramanujacharya. These are great devotees. We bow down at their lotus feet, but their teachings of pure devotion, not many people were privy to that. So we quote Srila Prabhupada because he made that available And he gave books which explain what all the great teachers, gurus, acharyas of bhakti have explained. He explained that in straightforward terms that is easily understandable by people of the modern age. So, Hare Krishna, is there any question about this, please? Yeah, is there another mic for asking questions? Is that arranged? Okay, just speak and I'll repeat it. Okay. Anyway, I should repeat it for the recording. One of what? One of your God brothers told you that. Sai Baba came in his dream and his wife dreams and told them to read Prabhupada's books. He became very convinced. So that proves that Sai Baba is actually a good guy after all. Does it? Well, why doesn't Sai Baba, when not in dreams, tell people to do that, to read Prabhupada's books? In that case. Only to the sincere one, but he doesn't to anyone. All right, well, we could say that the person is just lying, using Richard Dawkins' tactics. If he doesn't agree, with anyone and he can't refute them, he just says they're lying or they're having a hallucination. But if we accept this as a fact, then we can understand that Krishna wanted to give some mercy to these people. No doubt due to some previous connection they had with devotional service, because at that time their faith was in Sai Baba, so they wouldn't have listened to anyone else. So Krishna manifested like that. But the real mercy will be when they understand that Sai Baba's bogus. If you read Prabhupada's books and you still think that Sai Baba is something wonderful, then you didn't really understand anything. In Mangalore years ago, there was a man, he said he wanted to get initiated by me, but he said he had been in Ramakrishna mission for years, and he said it was through Ramakrishna and Vivekananda that I came to Krishna consciousness. And I didn't want to initiate him, and I said, unless you get this nonsense out of your head, I'm not going. He was chanting 16 rounds, reading Prabhupada's books, following four regulated principles. Eventually he got initiated, he went to Mayapur and met a guru there and got initiated. You know who I'm talking about? Govinda Ram. You know him. But then he did his Bhakti Shastri course and he came back and started giving classes. But he never got this nonsense out of his head. And so he's teaching everything in Prabhupada's books with the added masala of some, it's like special chai or something. Well, actually, Ramakrishna is quite good and this and... So he never got it out of his system. So he's never making... For all that he does, he can never... Katama bhyudayo bhavit. He can never actually understand what is Krishna consciousness. As long as you have any affinity or misunderstanding in this way, then you've not really understood what is bhakti. So... It may be that Krishna, who is the Lord in the heart, Matasmriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha, he may manifest in various ways to show mercy, but then the real mercy will come when you give up your any kind of good feeling. Bhakti means that one should have good feeling for any kind of good feeling for those kind of people. Bhakti means one should have full attraction to Krishna and no sympathy whatsoever for any of these people. You can't have both. Well, there could be some kind of nominal sympathy. Just like, for instance, we may say, it's better to worship Sai Baba than to become a ranting anti-Vedic Christian who wants to smash his deities and like this. Because even though they're misled, they still have some superficial respect for Vedic culture. So you could say that's, you could say it's better than something else, but it's actually offensive to worship Saiba. Just like this, not Shirdi, this one, Andhra Pradesh Sai Baba. There are things like this. The well-known Venkatesh Suprabhatam, Sri Venkata Chalapate Tava Suprabhatam. You all know it. Everyone who's a pious Hindu in Andhra Pradesh, they know this. So they made this whole song, someone made a recording of this whole song, taking out the terms Venkata Chalapate and putting in his name instead. Now, isn't that sinful? That he could tolerate that? So there are serious problems there with Sai Baba. Yeah. Take the mic. How should we take dreams? Dreams are mostly nonsense. But there may be some good things in them also. If in a dream you see the arati of Radha Govinda going on, that's very nice. Many times devotees told me that I appeared in their dream. And it's not just me, but my godbrothers and this, or Srila Prabhupada appeared in their dream. So again, I understand that Krishna manifests, that we understand that Guru is a manifestation of Krishna. The Guru is the outward manifestation of Chaitya Guru. So Krishna appears in that form and says something which he feels that needs to be communicated. So he does so in the form of the person who they trust. Where's the source of this? Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens when you go from personal to impersonal. You can't find the source. So the sound is just coming from somewhere, but I don't... What's the source? Well, it's the sound is all around the room. That's impersonal. But there is a source also. Hmm. You can accept Sai Baba as a guru. The question is, can you accept? You can if you're a damn fool and you'll go to hell. Guru means who teaches us what is real. Who distinguishes reality from illusion. You can accept anyone as a guru, but we should know what are the qualities of a guru. First, there are two main qualities given in Shastra. The first one is Shabde Pare Cha Nishnatam. He should be absorbed in the message of Shastra. Immersed. Nishnata means immersed. And the second is Brahmanyu Pashamashrayam, who has taken shelter of the Supreme Truth via the Parampara system. So, Sai Baba doesn't fit in that. He's teaching something, but it's not according to Shastra. So disqualified. Who asked this question? Whoever asked this question, I It may sound very harsh to you, but I request that you read in The Science of Self-Realization by Srila Prabhupada, the section on understanding who is a guru. Don't think that I'm just sitting here, I came to bash Sai Baba. Not bashing Sai Baba, bashing everyone who is cheating others. So that they can come to the actual platform of understanding, so that people can come to the actual platform of understanding who we should worship, so that we can get ultimate benefit. If you worship Sai Baba or if you accept him as a guru, you may get some benefit, but you'll also get punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, repeated birth and death. If you worship Krishna, then janma karma chame devyam evang yo veti tatvataha tyakva dehang punar janma naiti maam eti sorjana. Then you go to Krishna. Madhyajin opi anti maam. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji maang namaskuru. Maame vaishasi. Krishna says again and again, worship me, you come to me. If you worship Sai Baba or accept him as a guru, you might go where Sai Baba is, but that's not where Krishna is, because Sai Baba is not Krishna. So that means you have to get born again and again, unless you go to Krishna. So we should understand what it means to accept a guru, what it means to worship. That's why we're discussing this philosophy. If I had spoken all nice stories about Krishna, everyone would have been very happy, no doubt. But those whose misunderstanding about Sai Baba is that Sai Baba is Krishna, they wouldn't have benefited at all, because they would have gone on with their misconception. And they may still go on with their misconception, but now by hearing this, they may have a chance to come out of that misconception and actually start to make some real spiritual progress. So that's why it's required to discuss all these things. So please read that, Science of Self. If you're actually serious about spiritual life, then please read that book, The Science of Self-Realization. Yeah, okay, sir. Matri Devo Bhava, Pitri Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atiti Devo Bhava. Yeah, so the mother is God. Matri Devo Bhava, Pitri Devo Bhava, the father is God. The Acharya is God. And the guest is God. These are well-known statements from Vedas. So yeah, those statements are there, but they should be understood in context. How they are God, how they represent God. Not that they are God fully, in all respects. Practically, to the child, the mother is God. The child is fully dependent. Mother is godly if she represents Krishna. Otherwise, she can be a Rakshasi also. Yeah, what's the question?
This great, how is it possible to perform Hetti and Devahati disciplines and how the atmosphere is?
You're really into Varnashram, aren't you? All his questions are aimed at that. How is it possible to perform a Haituki Bhakti, a Haituki Pratihata Bhakti, if one is living in the cities? Go and join Madhukanta on the farm. I guess that's the answer you are looking for. Well, it's a fact. It is difficult. It's not impossible, but it is difficult to perform unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service if one is in association with people who have very different motivations, and one is obliged to perform activities which have no connection with devotional service, and which you're not allowed to connect with devotional service. You may not even be allowed to put a picture of Krishna on your wall in your office in many companies. So I discussed that the other day, if you remember. I'm sure you do. That more favorable position is to place oneself in a position where one can perform devotional service without any other distraction. Yeah, anything else? All right, but just wait then. How should you tackle persons? Due to my background, tackle makes me think of soccer or rugby. In rugby, you tackle a person by grabbing them, pulling them to the ground. How should we tackle persons? Because your brother previously constructed a Sai Baba temple, and now he's going and asking for donations for Krishna. And people who are very expert in avoiding giving donations to anyone or anything, they use this as an excuse to not give. Because they said, previously you asked for Sai Baba and now you're asking for Krishna. Well, tell them, I didn't, at that time I didn't know who should actually be served. Now I know. That is Krishna. That's why we're asking a donation, so that we can push on this Krishna conscious movement. What happened to that Sai Baba temple? Is it a trust, or is it a family trust, or what? It's gone to the government. It was a good temple, making plenty of money, huh? So, the ministers didn't have enough crores in their... They never have enough crores in their pockets, so... Build a temple and give the money to... Now it'll go to Telangana. That's why they don't want to give up. Politicians don't want to give up Telangana, because then they get less. The Andhra politicians get less money. And the Telangana politicians, they want it so they can get. Why are these Andhra politicians are getting all the money? We want our own we want the right to cheat the people of Telangana. We are from Telangana. Why are these Andhra people cheating them? We will cheat them. It's just like Indian independence. Why are these British people taking all the money from India and taking it? We'll take it. We're Indian. We should have the right to cheat our own people. And Indian people feel satisfied. Oh, we're not getting exploited by British. We're getting exploited by Indians. Desi cheating. So, anything else? Could get thrown in prison for this. I only understood the word Krishna out of everything you said. Maybe you're holding the mic too close to your mouth? Vedvyas.
In one of the incarnations of the
is one of the 24 avatars mentioned in the third chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavata. Narada Muni instructed Vyas. Well, how come Sandipani Muni instructed Krishna? How come Ishwarapuri instructed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How come Vishwamitra instructed Rama and Lakshman? It's called Leela. The Supreme Lord also accepts a guru. Vedvyas wrote so many, he compiled so many, in different places he says Indra is supreme, and therefore Narad Muni came and said, Jugupsitam, what you have given is wrong, it's misleading. Nayadvachas chitchapado harer yasham jagat apavitra. It makes the, all these, it's not auspicious for the world, therefore he told him to compile the Bhagavata. It's off the topic of the class, but well, I guess indirectly you could say, because we're saying Krishna, and you could say, well, in Shastra there are so many things recommended. So yeah, like I said, at some level Sai Baba worship is better than becoming a Christian. So at some level, to believe that Shiva is supreme, better than nothing. It's not the ultimate truth, but it's at some level it's good. That yepi anyate yo yo yang yang tanung bhakta shradhaya chitan itchati tasya tasya chalang shradham tam eva vidyadham yaham. Krishna says, those who desire to worship other gods, I make their faith in that god immovable, Krishna says. So one of the ways he does that is by giving shastras with all these misleading statements. You may say, well, people get confused. Yes, but they're confused, but they're not falling down to total animal life. They accept the Vedic culture. So they're confused in a better way than they would have been if they didn't have Shiva Purana. It's all in the plan of the Lord. For further detail, see this book, Who is Supreme? That's a recently published book. Who is Supreme? Written by Gokul Chandra Das, and it describes why Krishna is supreme and not all these different demigods. So, anything else, or shall we finish there? You have another question? Yeah. I can hardly hear you. Yeah. Where is this verse from? It's Srila Prabhupada says it's given by Rupa Goswami, maybe in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, something like this. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And many of the verses which Rupa Goswami quotes are taken, if they're not from Bhagavatam, they're from Narada Pancharatra, or maybe his own composition also. If it's his own composition, means it summarizes the teachings of Shastra. Just like that important verse of his that anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyana vritam anukulyena krishnanushilana bhakti rutama. It summarizes the teachings of the Shastra. It's parallel to this this verse which we read today, savai pung samparo dham yato bhakti rudhochita ahaitukya prati hataya yatma supasid. It parallels it. The ahaituki, supreme dharma, and ahaituki, that those elements are there. In Bhagavatam says what? Gyan avatars. Jnana bhaktas. They attain sarupya mukti. I don't know, you have to show me the reference exactly. Yeah, but you have to see the context. Gyan, the word gyan doesn't always mean impersonal liberation or tending toward impersonal liberation. Gyan also means within the Gaudiya context, gyana also means Aishvarya Gyan, knowledge of the Lord's opulence. So, Vraja Bhakti is obtained by those who do not maintain Aishvarya Gyan. That's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that? Aishvarya Gyane Napai Vrajendra Nandan. If one has Aishvarya Gyan, knowledge of the Lord's opulence, and he doesn't attain Krishna as Vrajendra Nandan, Krishna in Vrindavan. So everything has to be understood contextually. So, Hare Krishna. More questions? Okay. That's an interesting question. Mostly it seems that people take to Dhrida Bhakti, very firm Bhakti, if they're in a helpless position, given the example of Gajendra, but there are so many examples. So how do we get firm Bhakti without going through that difficulty, without coming to a nasty position? Well, Srila Prabhupada comments that in his commentary on the first verse of Upadeshamrita, that an intelligent person learns by hearing, a less intelligent person learns by experiencing. And we can add to that that a completely foolish person never learns anyway, in any circumstances. So, we should learn by hearing. We are in a helpless position. If we think that we're not in a helpless position, that is our extreme foolishness. That at this very moment we're not being beaten with sticks doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Birth, death, old age and disease are extremely painful. And we are in that situation. We cannot avoid it. So we should learn by hearing understanding. Janma mrityu jaravyadhi. We have to suffer birth, death, this old age and disease. This is suffering. Only due to maya we think that we're not suffering, we're free. So that suffering can be an impetus. If we think that I don't really need to surrender to Krishna because I'm not suffering in very much. Well, we could pray as Kunti prays if we dare to. Vipada santu ta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yat syad apuna bhavadarshanam. Give me difficulty. Give us lots of difficulty. So by seeing all these, by being in these difficulties, we'll remember you. We'll see you, and by seeing you, we won't have repeated birth and death. If we dare to, we can pray like that. Who dares to pray like that? We should pray like that. But we're always thinking how I can get the best of both worlds. Not understanding that there's nothing good in this world. So if we think that, well, I want to get pure devotion to Krishna, but I also want to have lots of money and prestige, and my children should go to America. It doesn't work. Even if someone cheats you and tells you that all this is your cultivating your material desires is actually devotional service. But you're being cheated. Even if it's an ISKCON guru who tells you. Material desires and devotional service, surrender to Krishna, are not the same thing. So by telling you that by having a good career and having a good job, that's your devotional service, it's just cheating, that's all. It's Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vithing Vina Aikantaki Hare Bhakti Utpate Aiva Kalpate. It's because it's not the conclusion of Shastra, it creates a disturbance in the actual path of pure devotion. So when someone comes along and says, no, that's not true, you say, well, it must be true because disciple of Prabhupada said it. This is how contamination, deviation comes in the sampradaya. And when we say, oh well, it must be good because so many people are coming and so many people are chanting Hare Krishna with all the offensive attitude that's been given to them in the name of bhakti, to equate pure devotional service with material activities. So that's why I say read Prabhupada's books, but then you have to read the books as they are, not with the filter. When Srila Prabhupada says surrender to Krishna, what he really means is I should study hard and get a good job and earn lots of money. What? Well, that's what I learned at the ISKCON temple. Really? Okay, Hare Krishna.